Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic is to tighten security on its border with Austria. The foreign ministers, Lubomir Zaorálek and his Latvian counterpart, are in favor of a possible reassessment of ties with Minsk. Members of the public, family and friends have paid their last respects to legendary actor Lubomír Lipský. The Czech Republic will extend random controls along its borders with Austria on Saturday, Interior Minister Milan Chovanec told Czech TV. The minister said security measures would be taken depending on how the situation developed in Austria, which earlier indicated it might close its borders at the weekend. If that were to happen, Mr. Chovanec said the Czech Republic was ready to deploy soldiers and officers on the border and effect controls on international trains in order to prevent a rise in the influx of migrants. In related news, the presidents of the Visegrad 4 countries, together with the Croatian head of state, have agreed on the necessity for the European Union's outer borders to be strengthened in the face of the migrant crisis. Hungarian President Janos Áder spoke with reporters after their two-day meeting on Friday. Hungary, along with Croatia, both face a strong influx of refugees from the Middle East and North Africa. The five presidents also agreed that detention centers for asylum seekers should be established in Turkey, through which many refugees have been coming to Europe. Czech President Miloš Zeman criticized the European Union, saying it had proven, quote, zero ability to protect its outer borders. Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek and his Latvian counterpart have indicated both are in favor of a possible reassessment of ties with Minsk, dependent on positive signs from Belarus, which is holding elections on Sunday. They also regarded as positive a recent decision by Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko, leading to the release of six political prisoners, as well as the role of Belarus in peace talks to try and end the conflict in Ukraine. Other issues on the table in Prague on Friday included not only bilateral relations, but also the upcoming NATO summit in Warsaw. Family, friends and members of the public paid their last respects to legendary film and theater actor Lubomír Lipský, who died on October the 2nd at the age of 92. The ceremony took place at ABC Theater in Prague, where he performed for more than 50 years. More than 40 fellow actors attended on Friday to say goodbye. This weekend we'll see the launch of a nationwide police operation aimed at curbing underage drinking. Police officers, paramedics and members of the Czech Trade Inspection Office will be making inspections of pubs, bars and restaurants around the country to make sure alcohol is not being sold to adolescents. The inspections should continue until the end of the year. Alcohol abuse among teenagers has increased by 100% in the past 20 years, and the Czech Republic now tops the European ladder in underage drinking. The police have passed the case against three members of the guerrilla art group Stohoven on to the state prosecutor's office. Police spokeswoman Andrea Zolova has confirmed. The members of the renegade group between the ages of 33 and 41 made international headlines recently when they posed as chimney sweeps, climbed onto the roof of Prague Castle, and replaced the presidential flag with a pair of enormous red underpants. The move was meant as criticism of the current head of state's past public behavior and policies. The police charged the three with disorderly conduct, theft, and the damage of private property. Damages incurred in the stunt have been tabulated at 90,000 crowns. The outgoing head of Czech Radio, Petr Duhan, whose resignation was accepted by Czech Radio's supervisory council earlier this week, will receive 10 months' severance pay, amounting to at least 2 million crowns. This, according to the news website aktualne.cz. The final sum could be higher if the council also grants Mr. Duhan his annual bonus. Mr. Duhan resigned this week, citing health reasons, ahead of a meeting of the supervisory council, which was investigating the past employment of his son, not allowed under existing regulations. Mr. Duhan, who is 69, oversaw sweeping changes at Czech Radio, including the introduction of new moderators and a new logo. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, the Prime Minister's reputation is on the line in a Czech court. We have the summary of this week's business news, and later on in the program we speak to one of the organizers of My Street Films project, who recently announced this year's winner. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Eleven years after the event, a court will start proceedings over the privatization of Czech hard coal mining company OKD. And one of those following the trial closely will be Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka. As the then finance minister, he piloted the controversial sale of the state's remaining stake in the mining company for what many say was a fraction of its real value. Chris Johnston has more.
Three men will be in court today over the controversial privatization of mining company OKD. They are one of the employees of the consultancy company Vox Consult that carried out the expert evaluation of the value of the mining company that helped to set the price. The other two are highly placed employees of the then state holding company, the National Property Fund, which was in charge of the privatization. The central charge is that they underestimated the value of the remaining OKD shares held by the state to the tune of 5.7 billion crowns, with the employees of the state holding company failing in their duty to protect the wider public interest. But the main personality who will be on trial is none other than Prime Minister Sobotka, who was finance minister at the time of the OKD sale. That episode probably represents the biggest stain on his political career and has dogged him consistently over the intervening years. Sobotka was asked about the sale on Thursday on the eve of the court case opening by public broadcaster Czech Television, and once again he said he had a clear conscience with regards to the sale.
Ministerstvo spoléhá na to, že ten znalecký posudek je v pořádku.
The ministry acted in the belief that the expert valuation was in order. When we acted as a government, there were no questions about this valuation. Those misgivings have come up 11 years later. 11 years on, they are now questioned as part of a criminal process, and the court must decide whether during that evaluation the expert made a mistake or not.
The Prime Minister has already given evidence to the police over this case and could well be called into the witness stand. Even if this does not happen, he will be closely following how the case plays out. The Prime Minister again.
I will certainly be following what happens because the court must decide on guilt or innocence. It is a part of the criminal proceedings, and I have already, as part of these proceedings, been involved as a witness. I must say that I will be very interested because our government acted in accordance with that expert evaluation.
There were other valuations and judgments that helped bolster the government's impression that the 2004 sale was okay. But another later estimate by Ernst & Young put the total value of the mining firm at more than 50 billion crowns. The government eventually sold its remaining 46% stake for just 4.1 billion crowns. One of the mining company's main assets was not the coal mines themselves, but the massive property portfolio of 44,000 flats in and around Ostrava, which were seriously undervalued. The OKD sale fits in with a sad saga of Czech episodes after the fall of communism, where the state first lost control of key companies and was then backed into a corner and forced to sell up the rest for a fraction of the real value. Few cases eventually came to court, and even fewer ended up with any convictions or a finger pointing to those at fault.
Chris Johnston with that report. And Chris stays in the studio for the summary of this week's business news.
The Czech unemployment rate is at its lowest level since March 2009. According to the figures released by the country's Labour Office this week, unemployment in September dropped to 6% from 6.2% the previous month. The office currently registered almost 442,000 unemployed persons, and there are on average 4.1 applicants for every vacancy. The positive trend has been driven by strong economic growth, but a slight increase in the dropout rate is expected towards the end of the year with the end of seasonal work.
Czech consumer prices inflation accelerated in September to 0.4% year-on-year, the Czech Statistical Office reported on Friday. The inflation figure was 0.1 percentage point higher than in August. Analysts had expected the inflation rate would be flat or fall. The increase was fueled mainly by price increase of holidays and services, as well as by the higher prices of alcohol and tobacco.
The number of Czechs who are facing four or more property seizures has markedly grown despite the overall number of seizures going down in the long term, the Czech Chamber of Bailiffs has warned. While the number of people facing property seizures in the Czech Republic has dropped by 27% over the past 2 years, from 1 million in 2013 to 730,000 in 2015, the number of seizures has increased at the same time by 29%, from 3.3 million to 4.4 million.
The export of used cars from the Czech Republic will grow this year by 45% to 91,000 vehicles compared to 2014. The reason behind the steep increase is the artificially weakened Czech currency. According to the vehicle security firm CEBIA, which monitors the origin of cars on Czech roads, the exported cars are usually less than 5 years old and they are exported mainly to other EU countries. The number of used cars imported into the Czech Republic has increased by around 25%, and more than 50% of these cars are over 10 years old.
And finally, the Czech Republic has rolled out its first wine vending machine, or Vinomat. The trial operation of the wine-selling machine, which functions like a normal coin-operated drink dispenser, was launched in Ostrava earlier this week. Buyers are required to insert their ID card into the machine in order to verify their age. Vinomat, which is operated by the Pavlovin company from the wine town of Velká Pavlovice, currently offers four types of wine.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's time for a fresh edition of The Arts with Jan Wellinger.
Just a few days ago, the winner of this year's My Street Films project was announced. The competition aims at getting both professional or amateur filmmakers to produce short documentaries with a single street as a starting point. I spoke to Diana Tabakov about the competition in the Czech Republic.
Every street has a story, but not every street has a film. So actually this project is opening a competition to audiences to shoot short documentaries and short films from their streets to show the stories that they see around them, the stories of the architecture, the stories of their neighbors or their colleagues at work and so on, and send these films to us, where we pin the documentaries to an online map. So actually on the website mystreetfilms.cz, we are creating an audiovisual online map of the Czech cities. So people can then not only shoot the films, but then they can go through an online map and actually recognize and discover new places by subjective stories, not by any objective topics or objective terms, but by stories that are lived in these streets.
Whose idea was it to put this together?
This project was launched about 5 years ago in London at the Open City Docs Fest. It was invented by Michael Stewart, a British anthropologist. And we have been in touch with this film festival because it is the online platform Doc Alliance Films that has actually brought this project from Britain to Czech Republic. So we actually talked to Michael about the idea, and we showed our interest in actually creating an online film map of Czech films. So that's what we did. We brought the project here and actually developed it in a way that we saw that would work best here. So we have a wide range of educational workshops and seminars that we added to the whole competition, which actually London doesn't really do. The Czech cultural context is different, and so we invented a program to it too.
I'd like to ask you a few more details about that program in just a moment, but it really is almost like every street or many of the streets in the capital and other cities around the country that they do have hidden stories, don't they? There's a lot of forgotten things to discover.
Absolutely. The point is that it's a never-ending range of stories that we receive from the filmmakers. It can be a topic. For example, we have a great film from last year that actually is about advertisement and graphics in the city. And because when you shoot a film, it's different than when you write an article. So you somehow need to pin the core of the story, and you need to point the camera at something. So from a big topic as advertisement in the city, you need to find a story of one person, perhaps, and from that you can show something. One small story, you can show a big topic. But then you have also quite an intimate portrait of an older lady living in an old building, and so you recognize the history of one place. So there are various ways of how to tell a story, and that is the most interesting part. Actually, people are very open to what's happening near them, but it's the difficult part is to how to tell the story. We really live in a YouTube generation where working with video is pretty much natural for everyone now. But the point is to do good films. The point is to do it in the better way and to educate people that are interested in film in the ways that there are many various forms, not just the conventional ones we see in the TV, of how to tell a story.
I'm glad you brought that up, of course, because what is immediately striking or apparent is that the particular streets or the name of the street is really just a launching point to a strong degree. You mentioned that entry, which was about advertising. Visually, there's a sense of mystery. It takes quite some time before we really get a handle on what's going on because the visuals are kind of a breakdown of this printing process of how ads are made before we actually find out. So the story doesn't begin where you think it might.
Point. I mean, in this film, he actually worked very well with the sound and visual part of it. And I think it's this that you need to talk with. I mean, this is the way you need to talk when you're doing a film. It's not that you need to show at the beginning of the film the main topic and the main story that you want to tell. I mean, you can write an article to do that. The film is supposed to work in the way that you show. You start with details, perhaps, or and the visual connect with the sound. So we're looking at a big poster that is actually advertising a tourist company or something. Well, anyway, you see the beach, and you just see details of it, and you don't know if it's reality or if it's a picture. It was not made within the conventional ways that in the first 2 minutes we need to tell the main story. We need to be very explicit and so on and so on.
Now, just a few days ago, the results were announced, and I read that the winning entry is the film Stupovana.
Yes.
That's a film which is interesting. It was shot in Plzeň, and it has passers-by guessing at the meaning of these arrows which are pointing down. Could you elaborate a little bit about this year's first choice?
Not like to tell the whole story because that's the most important part of the story, that you actually find out together with the audience what the arrows mean. But it's a great way of how to tell a story because the author, she had a topic, she had one detail, arrows that are painted on buildings. And you can see that these arrows are very, very old, actually. You don't think it's a new detail on the architecture, and she starts asking people around her, which is a very, very conventional method to a vox populi, just to ask people. But she did it in a very interesting way, just to show that actually no one knows what the arrow means, but arrows always need to point to a place. But why are they pointing there, to the ground? So the method was very much well chosen for the point of the movie, that there are many details surrounding us that we don't even know that they exist. And so in the end, it really led to our aim of the project, that it's something that happens in our surroundings. It's a story from one street, and it tells something very much interesting that only an older generation, just one generation, can actually know about this.
We talked a little bit about the workshops. Are the workshops also intended to bring the broader public in to be aware of the project?
Absolutely, yes. Of course, because the main organizer of My Street Films in Czech Republic is, as I said, the Doc Alliance Films platform, where we, for 10 years now, work online as a distributor. So you can stream documentaries legally online. And we know that actually promoting something only online is just part of the job. So it's very much important to have offline projects, as we call them. That means cultural events and something that you can easily communicate, not only an online competition. And on the other hand, also, it's not only about promoting the existence of our competition, but it's mainly really educating people that are interested in filmmaking, but actually don't have the possibility to go to a film school. And there is a really a large audience for this. Many people came to our evening workshops, which are pretty non-formal. It's usually in the evenings, the places have a small bar, so, you know, it's for free, and usually the director spends time with the people there much longer than we pay him for, so it's a very informal kind of event. And of course, we started with basic lessons, like the introduction to camera, introduction to directing, to editing. And we always work with documentary filmmakers that are established, so they already have their feature-length documentaries, they work for the Czech TV, and they all usually teach at the Film Academy in Prague. So we're bringing like teaching methods from the Film Academy to people who are not at the Film Academy. So it's a very easy and cheap way for people to get educated in film, and perhaps one day they will make it to a big film festival with their film after our lessons and workshops.
Diana Tabakov, one of the organizers of My Street Films projects, talking there to my colleague Jan Wellinger. And that edition of The Arts brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.